The Robber Barons, The Final Years of Jay Gould, and The End of Jay Gould. Yes, even Mephistopheles of Wall Street has an expiration date. In 1881, a great storm blew down the wires of Jay Gould's telegraph companies. At the time, Gould was forced to use a messenger boy service, and the stockbrokers Comac and Travers kidnapped Gould's boy and replaced him with a spy who looked like him. For days, the spy brought Gould's most secret communications to enemy headquarters at the Windsor Hotel, where they were opened and then sent on to their proper destinations. Gould suffered serious losses until he discovered the problem. In 1882, at the time of the spectacular collapse of Gould's Southwestern Railroad, his credit was attacked. First of all, rumors were spread that he was heavily in debt to the banks, and second, he must soon unload masses of securities that he held in a declining market. While calling witnesses to his office, Gould had his private secretary bring in bundles of stocks and bonds from his vault and display them. There were $53 million worth of securities that he owned outright, and he declared that there were more elsewhere. It appeared that Gould had been mysteriously forewarned and as a result completely escaped ruin on his own railroad enterprises. In 1884, renewed attacks, timed with a general financial depression, brought Gould to the edge of danger once again. Men whose financial life he had apparently ruined years before revived to add to the ranks of his enemies. I mean, this guy has tons of enemies. Some of them were, first of all, James Keeney, former partner, Henry N. Smith, and Charles Warshoffer, and many other Wall Street leaders united to break Gould at the time of the Grant and Ward Panic of 1884. His railroads were falling in the ruins, and it was thought he was also, again, heavily indebted. Gould attempted to support the stock market against heavy selling, but day by day, he was brought lower in his Missouri Pacific and Western Union, plus everything he owned was being hammered down to bankruptcy levels. Then it happened. Jay Gould was beaten. Quote, one morning, Gould had his lawyer execute an assignment of his property, and on the following day, his yacht went down the Long Branch where the bear operations were summering. Gould's emissaries landed and held a conference with his enemies. They bore his ultimatum, a copy of the assignment, and a statement that unless the bears made terms with him, he would on the following morning give public notice that he was unable to meet his engagements. End of quote. A portion of his holdings were assigned so that it would remain to his heirs officially. In person, he would descend into bankruptcy to the extent of millions. But his failure could create an even greater panic, one in which the very concerns with which the bears had contracts would then collapse also in the crash, making them, as well, heavy losers. The bears, after a long conference, agreed to, quote, let up on terms. Instead, they accepted receiving 50,000 shares of Western Union at $50 a share, which they had sold much higher. But they still expected Gould to fail shortly. Gould was deeply alarmed by the near catastrophe of 1884-85. So he was more prudent in his final years. He piled up reserves until once again his war chest was fully restored. Then after several years of calm, he went on the offensive again. He was still planning new financial campaigns when he died in 1892. He died on December the 2nd, 1892, of tuberculosis. He was interred in the Woodlawn Cemetery in Bronx, New York. The family mausoleum was designed by Francis O'Hare and his family. His wife, Helen Day Miller, I was born in 1838 and died in 1889. She had married Gould in 1863, and they had six children. Now, his children have interesting longevity. The firstborn son was George J. Gould, born 1864, lived until 1923. Then we have Edwin Gould the First, born in 1866, died in 1933. Then there's Helen Gould, born in 1868, died in 1938. Howard Gould was born in 1871 and died in 1959. Anna Gould was born in 1875 and died in 1961. And Frank Gould was born in 1877 and died in 1956. So they all lived over 60 years, and in some cases, even longer. Well, what did he leave them? Did he leave them any money? Well, the conservative estimate is he left them $72 million in 1892 money. In 2016, that would translate into $1.76 billion. So they did okay. And of course, I don't know what happened to his all of his orchids, but we'll assume that they survived for a while in the family. So that is the end of Jay Gould, and we'll be going west to Collis P. Huntington next. Now, the sources for this, The Robber Barons by Matthew Josephson, America in the Gilded Age by Cashman, The Age of Moguls, The Story of Robber Barons and Tycoons by Holbrook. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, SummaHistorica.com or HistoryAccordingToBob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us.